Grateful, as Al said, I appreciate what Al shared already, but to have five out of the six elders of the New York City Church of Christ with us today. As you said, we're a group of 10 regions like this throughout the metropolitan area, and we're glad to be together. We are together once a month and then separately three times a month. But as Rob mentioned, we're going to be together for a little stretch in January, and we're going to do a series on grace, and we're very excited about that. We can't talk enough or get enough of the grace of God. I want to make sure that you know who your shepherds are for our whole church. You met Al, who lives in Manhattan, and he's an executive with Siemens. Which I asked him one time, how many employees does your company have? Is there about 600,000? I'm like, oh, well, okay, well, amen. I guess that's pretty big. Cedric Boaz couldn't be here today. He's in Queens, and he helps with our church in Long Island. He was planning on coming, and then kind of an emergency situation in Queens. Cedric, as you probably know, lost his wife to cancer earlier this year, and it just, her name was Faith. And it was a very, very appropriate name. But he's just a dear brother. He was a medical apparatus rep and quit so he could spend more time with her as she was in her last weeks of cancer. And he's gone. And now he's back in the medical field being a nurse. But a great brother. Kevin Finnerty's here. Kevin and Andy, can you stand up for a minute? They're part of the Westchester ministry and helping Westchester and the Bronx. Kevin is a school teacher, high school teacher, and Andy's a teacher as well. Andy was a part of the original group of 18 people who came to New York City in 1983 to plant a church. And Kevin became a Christian as a student at Columbia University a few years back. And then Mark Sanders is here. Mark and Fiona, stand up a minute, please. They live in Hudson Valley, and they also are very involved with the ministry in Brooklyn. And Mark is a physician, particularly a holistic, natural thing. So, you know, ask him anything you need to ask him today. He'll send you a bill later. No. And Lewis and me, you know, Lewis has been here more than 30 years, and I've been here 15 years. We know we need more elders in a church of almost 3,000 members. We are hope to see more men appointed. In our fellowship, we have taken a fairly conservative stance that when somebody is appointed an elder, at least, his children that he's raised be faithful disciples, and we do want to see more men become elders. These men care about the church deeply. I love being a part of this group. They care about you, and that's why we're here, and we're going to talk more about that as time passes. Sam Powell is not currently serving as an elder. He has in the past, but he is our lead evangelist. He wanted to be here today, but he is had to step in Westchester region. You may not know, Jim Brown had triple bypass surgery about 8 days ago and is recovering well, but obviously is not preaching today. So Sam is there. You know, it is Thanksgiving is a uniquely American holiday tradition. It's a biblical concept. I love as Paul closes this letter to the church in Thessalonica, a church he established, planted, only got to spend apparently 3 or 4 weeks there, had to leave because of persecution. They're very dear to his heart. And at the end of this letter, he gives some little bumper sticker statements. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. That all part is difficult sometimes. I'm sure I've undoubtedly told this story before, but I love it, and I got to tell it again because, well, just bear with me. You know, it involves Halloween, but it's about Thanksgiving. Many years ago, I went to the door to put the candy in the bag. A little child I recognized as the grandson of a neighbor was at the door. The grandmother's kind of in the background there. I put the candy in his bag, and his grandmother in a loud whisper says, "What do you say?" And he looked up at me and said, "More." And his grandmother went, "No, you're supposed to say thank you." "Oh yeah, thank you." I've lived long enough to know I'm supposed to say thank you, but sometimes I feel more. It is good to give thanks. To stop focusing on what we don't have and focus on what we do have. Focus on what God has given us. Give thanks in all circumstances. I'm very grateful. I'm grateful for my family, certainly. I'm grateful for what God has done. As I mentioned, Randy and I have been married 50 years this past August. It is a testimony to her faith and perseverance. Oh my goodness. I'm grateful for our children, who are very, very grown. I'm grateful for the people they married. Arda, that's right, Anthony. We couldn't have picked better people if we'd been picking, which doesn't work in our culture anyway. I'm grateful for our grandchildren. We have 9. Wow. 1 in college in California, 4 in high school, 2 in middle school, 2 elementary school, kind of spread out from almost 21 down to almost 8. They bring great joy. I got to tell you a story again. I can tell you this if you will promise not to tell. Can I trust you? Don't tell my granddaughter, because I would not want her to feel bad at all. She's a beautiful, sensitive, wonderful little girl in 2nd grade. I picked her up from school one day, not that long ago. She said, "Granddaddy, I learned that one of the Beatles, the one who plays the guitar, wrote a book about grandchildren." I said, "Oh yeah, I know who he is." Well, she didn't tell me that she filled out a little form questionnaire following that. Her mom texted it to me. "What's your grandfather's name?" "Larry." "What does he call you?" "Cutie." "How old is he?" 86. At least there was a question mark after it. There's nothing wrong with being 86, except I'm 71. So again, don't tell her. I don't want her to feel bad. I'm just like, I don't know. One of my other grandchildren said, maybe that's what she thinks you look. Well, thank you very much. I'm thankful for our church family. And when you look around, you know, we had that kind of family portrait, remember a few years ago when we made the big NJ up on the field, and Curtis and Carla, you're like, who are those people? I mean, just people from every walk of life and background and culture. But we're family. I want to ever take that for granted. You know, we lived for 13 years in Colorado. Rob just visited Colorado for the first time to speak at a retreat. And I said, what? I knew what he was going to, his reaction, because he'd never been to Colorado, been over it going to the West Coast. "What did you think of the Rocky Mountains?" I got to say, I love our hills in New Jersey. They're hills compared to the Rocky Mountains. I love the mountains and the Adirondacks, but they're the Rockies. And I remember, I mean, I'm glad I live here, but I remember when we lived in Colorado, the mountains rising up out of the plains. I remember how many times I thought to myself, I never want to take this view for granted. Because sometimes we take for granted what we see all the time. I don't want to take you for granted. I don't want us to take each other for granted. What God has done here. Give thanks in all circumstances. It was inspiring seeing Rob and Mark's trip to Amsterdam. And Mark didn't share this, but he's kept up with Daniel every week via Skype. You tell what era I'm from. I mean, when I was a kid, it was science fiction, thinking you could talk to somebody and see them at the other end. Skype is what it's called. But Mark's kept up with him and befriended him and mentored him, even across the world. It was great to see Danny get baptized yesterday. I don't, back when the campus ministry was 10 and then 20, I got to go to all the campus baptisms, and I don't get to do that much anymore, but I got to be out there in the cold lake on the shore with Danny yesterday and see what God has done here, the great victories. Do you know that in the 11 years that we've been one region, God has allowed 11 people to go into the full-time ministry from this group? That's pretty amazing, really. And now those people are going places. To the Bronx, to Manhattan, to Queens, to Syracuse. You know, this year, I believe we've seen 10 high school kids get baptized. It's amazing to see what God has done. But we've had a rough time lately. If you're visiting here today, we're glad you're here, but we want to talk about a little family stuff. Hope you don't mind. You don't have to leave the room. I hope you're not shocked to know that this isn't a perfect place, beginning with me. We've had a little challenging time. You know, in the summer of 2018, we invited Steve and Sue Schaff to move here. After many, many discussions, some of you were involved in a kind of an informal interviewing process. I appreciate very deeply their focus on Jesus and how they made the members, you, feel individually respected and listened to and empowered. Many of you mentioned how they sat all over the place because they wanted to get to know you and wanted to connect. And I appreciate all those things because you are my family. And their abrupt departure was therefore even more shocking. And I know it caused feelings of distrust, disillusionment, discouragement, disappointment. And I will say, there were things that were happening behind the scenes that, you know, with the ministry staff, with the elders, that just, we came to a mutual conclusion that it's just not working. I know your fears because of that. I'm realizing more and more, like, do we, being the elders, the ministry staff, do we not see and appreciate the atmosphere they brought? And we do. Are we going back to secretive decisions made by a few? No. Are things going back the way they used to be when the culture in our church was not healthy? You know, I wish, I can't tell you how much I wish this had had a better outcome. I have spent a lot of nights lying awake, and I get up and go downstairs in the basement and lie awake for a while on the couch, thinking about what could we have done differently? What could I have done differently? I wish we'd involved more of you in trying to bring some resolution. I wish we'd made more of you aware that things were not quite what they seemed. So what do we do now? You know, give thanks in all circumstances. You know, I believe those verses in James and in Peter about God shaping our characters. I just don't always want it to be me. I mean, you know what I mean? And I've seen God ways giving thanks in all circumstances. I've seen ways that God is trying to continue to refine my character. And I've had to fight a few days to get the all circumstances giving thanks perspective. You know, we are shaped by the homes in which we grow up. That's why we're trying to help each other with parenting and trying to give our children the best opportunity possible to be happy, to be healthy, to ultimately, hopefully, become Christians. And I realize again, I don't like problems. I don't like controversy. I don't like conflict. You know, I know some of you heard this. Everybody's got a story, but you know, when I was 10 years old, my mother was diagnosed with colon cancer. It was 14 months, 11 operations as she was leaving this life. I remember about midway through asking my dad, or saying to my dad, "She's going to die, isn't she?" And he said, "Yes, but we don't want to talk about it." The day she died, I was 11, my brother was 8, my sister was 3, when he got us in the car to tell us, because it was while we were at church. He said she would want us to go on with life. There's a sense in which that's true. But what that meant for our family was, we never talked about it again. We never talked that she lived, that she died. How are you doing? This is hard. My brother and I were sent to some friend's house for the afternoon. I found out the next day my dad wasn't planning on taking me to the funeral. I'm like, no. But what I learned, my family, we don't talk about things. If you don't talk about it, maybe it's not there. Now, I know at 71, that's not true. But sometimes it feels better sometimes to act that way. And so, as you know, as I grew up, look, everybody's got a story. I'm not saying poor me. I'm saying I'm having to see again. You know, we didn't talk about stuff. Everything's, I know some families, you know, when we do premarital counseling, you find out your family's awesome and the person that grew up in this family is bizarre. And you find out how differently you react to things. And some families always talk about everything. Sometimes, ooh, it's all quiet. That was my all quiet. And so my dad, you know, I have more compassion for him now. Just really wasn't there physically or emotionally. I mean, he brought people in our home. I was sexually molested by. My sister was sexually molested by. We didn't know it about each other for many years. I didn't talk to my dad. I knew he wouldn't do anything about it. When I talked to him years later as an adult, he didn't do anything about it. Now, ultimately, we had some good conversations. What am I saying? I can kind of live with kind of everything's okay on the surface when it's not. And I realize I get a real helpless feeling when problems come. Because I feel like I'm responsible and I'm supposed to do something about it and I don't know what to do. You know, when it became apparent that my dad's life was not what it appeared to be, and I felt like, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know how to handle this. You know, I remember saying to Russ one time, bro, if when you come to me with some kind of problem that you're aware of, and it seems like I don't want to hear it, it's because I don't. But please tell me anyway, because I need to hear it. I'm saying this to say, I've not paid enough attention to some of the underlying hurts and disappointments and feelings that still linger from when our church culture was what I do not want it ever to be again. Amen. And I appreciate the people who care. I know everybody cares, but I mean care about this, who are helping me see how you feel. It's been sobering. I gotta say, can I be real here, continuing for a minute? It's been somewhat overwhelming at times. You know, it's like a time or two when you try to sell a house and the inspector comes. And he begins to write all the things that are wrong with the house. And I'm feeling like, well, doggone it, is anything right with this house? And I say that, let me be really, really clear. Nobody who has come trying to help the elders and us see things has come in anything but a spirit of love and support and gratitude and appreciation. So what I just said is not to shut you down. It's not to make you feel like, oh boy, I shouldn't say. I'm just saying how I feel. And so I got to stand up and say, whoa, this is God's family, and I'm an elder here. I got to take responsibility for this. And I'm sorry that many of you felt not listened to, not heard, not valued. You know, I realize I've been in the ministry for 45 years, since the fall of 1974. And 15 of those years have been here. A third here in New Jersey. That hadn't dawned on me recently. We've been through a lot together. We hadn't been here too long and Mary's mother passed away. You've been with me when my dad passed away, when my foster mother, who really was a mother to me, passed away. We've been together as you've lost relatives, as you've had births, as we've had new births, as we've had marriages, as we've had so many different things, parties and laughter and tears. And I love this group. I love your faithfulness. I love your perseverance. I love your graciousness. I love your willingness to speak up. And I just want to say, I'm determined, with God's help and your help, to change this atmosphere. Amen. And, you know, I think I, maybe perhaps one thing has happened. You know, how big should a church in New Jersey be? Well, if God wants all men to be saved, the church in New Jersey should be about 4 million. Really, you know? I'm glad we combined and came together, but I think we've reached a point where I know it's hard for people to feel like, well, where do I belong? How do I belong? What's my role? How do I fit in? And we've tried to emphasize the small groups, but I'm glad we're in the three county groups now, because I think there's an opportunity for more intimacy, for more involvement, for more communication. The reason all the elders are here today is because we do want to hear you. We do want to acknowledge, beginning with me, I'm sorry for just some things that weren't handled the way they could have been handled. We want to rebuild trust. We want to find solutions together. I don't know how to fix all this. I've always believed in collective wisdom. And as the ministry staff in New Jersey, we've tried to work together. I see the collective parts got to grow. As we put our heads together, we're thinking a lot of things we want to do, more meetings, more surveys. You know, we're working on some solutions. Here's the thing, though. I don't want to move to solutions too quickly. You understand what I'm saying? I think I've learned that in 50 years. I'm like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Whoa. Here's how I feel. Okay. We do need all of us to pray together, to pull together. We want to take seriously hurts, feelings, stuff. You know, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's church. It's not yours, not mine. It's not Russian series. Louis, Tosa, Mary Lou. Yours. We're in this together. And I stand back and say, God, thank you for your church. Thank you for the people. Thank you for the opportunity to see things and to grow and to change. I hope when I'm 86, I'm still willing to grow and change. Unless I maybe get to be up there in the next place. Amen. By then. I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for hope for the future. I'm grateful for how God has blessed us. We're going to sing a song in a minute that's really become, as we close out, one of my favorites that I told Siri, I keep hearing this song in my head over and over and over and over again. So let's just sing it today. You know, I went to a funeral several years ago. Remember Miss Jean? Wonderful, sweet lady. I went to her funeral. I was the only Caucasian person there. And Sari and Karen Dudley got up and started singing We've Come This Far by Faith. And I looked around and everybody was singing it. Except me. And I was like, Sari, everybody knows this song. You know, yeah, we grew up singing it. Well, we got to sing this song. And it's become kind of one of our anthems, I think. And it's become kind of like Canaan's Land, one of Sherry's, at least in my mind. Yeah. We have come this far by faith. And by faith, doggone it, we're going to keep going with God's help. So let's stand and sing.